Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Hello, friends, and welcome to my favorite part of the afternoon, getting to spend time with you prescribing hope for healthy families. And listen, if you missed yesterday's show, you missed a big, giant dose of hope that we gave. My husband came home actually after listening to the show and he said, wow, you should have warned me because I got all choked up. I was listening to that while I was driving. If you missed it, we had Livia on the show. She was a recipient of an Operation Christmas Child Box. She grew up an orphan in Romania. And I'm not even going to tell you any more than that, except for that God orchestrated a miracle through a best friend's necklace and some hair clips. God worked through those small items that someone was obedient enough to pack. So if you missed it, go back and listen to it. It was absolutely incredible. And we're just wrapping up the collection week for Operation Christmas Child, where you can pack a shoebox full of simple gifts that will really just bring joy to a child somewhere in the world. And so I want to tell you, I told you that I was going to go and drop off my boxes. I did. I packed four boxes, one for each of my children here. It just felt like a symbolic rightness to me about that. So I went to this church to drop them off. And as I walked in, actually, I ran into another lady in the parking lot, like literally ran into her, and our boxes were, you know, like all fallen and everything. And I looked up and I realized it was one of my former nursing students. And it was so amazing. So we were like, oh, fancy meeting you here. We walked in together. These girls, a troop of American Heritage girls, came flooding out of the church to help us carry in all of the boxes. It was precious. They were so helpful, so dedicated to their task. And they helped us fill out the papers that we needed to fill out. And I needed another tag for one of the boxes, and they helped me with that. And just as I was about to turn and leave, one of the girls, she probably was, I don't know, maybe 12, 13 or so. She goes, wait, you can't leave. You forgot the most important thing. And I said, oh, what did I said, I paid. I thought that was the most important thing. And she said, no, we have to pray. And this little girl stretched her arms out over the boxes and prayed the most beautiful prayer, that God would use the simple objects in this box to touch lives and hearts around the world. I'm getting goosebumps right now thinking about it. And it was so special. And I was able to look at that group of girls and say, hey, let me tell you a story about a girl named Livia and how God used hair barrettes, just like you are packing now, to introduce a little girl to Jesus and miraculously, I mean miraculously, change her life. If you missed that story, go back and listen to it. So just one last reminder, SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. It's not too late. You can still go and drop off your boxes today or tomorrow. They might even let you do it through Sunday if you can find somewhere that's maybe a little, has a little longer drop off, but go to SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. So it was really fantastic. It was great. We also talked about the release of Culture Warrior, talked to the director of that documentary, MD Perkins. You can go to culturewarrior.movie to see that and just go listen to yesterday's show. It was really good. And today's show is going to be just as good. We have got a special treat for you. We have Rebecca Davis and Jeff Chambly. And Rebecca is actually the editor of The Stand magazine. Many of you probably subscribe to that. If you don't, well, you should. And Jeff Chambly runs The Stand Radio. And so they're going to talk to us today about that resource. And we're going to give you a little behind the scenes look. So if you're a regular subscriber, we're going to tell you how that comes to be and what all the work that goes into putting that resource in your hands. And if you're not subscribing to this resource, well, you probably will want to by the time we finish. So, Rebecca, I know you're in studio today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I am really excited to have you here. I would love for you just to tell our listeners just a little bit about yourself and how you came to work at The Stand magazine.
Okay. I'll be glad to. I am originally from North Mississippi, so the area where AFA headquarters are. And goodness, I really started writing as an eighth grader in middle school. I wrote a column for the local newspaper about the school news, just things that were going on, you know, at the school at the time. And so I just had a teacher that really recognized just some skills and abilities there and allowed me to be in that position. And so really the Lord just used that and just kind of used that to begin directing me here many, many, many years later. But I ended up pursuing a degree in journalism in college during the summers of my high school years and my college years. I worked for our local newspaper in my hometown. And then, like I said, ended up pursuing a degree in journalism. Right out of college, I went to work for a newspaper in the Mississippi Delta. Spent a year there, went to grad school, and then a couple of years later, landed here at AFA. And so that was in 2004. So I have been very blessed to have been a part of this ministry for 20 years this year. And I joined the magazine as a staff writer under the direction of Randall Murphy, who was our editor for 40 years. And wow. So I had the opportunity to spend almost 20 years under his leadership and his direction and learning from him. And so that was just, again, just a huge blessing in and of itself. I did take, I don't know, I guess you could say a couple of breaks. I spent several years at home with babies.
Babies,
so, yes. So I came to AFA for the first time in 2004 and was here about 5 years and then spent some time at home with my babies and then came back part-time and left again for about a year and then came back for the third time. And they told me at that point that was it. Three times, that's it. You either stay or you go for good. So I came back at that point full-time again in 2019. And at that point, things began, you know, they began putting things in place for me to step into Randall Murphy's role when he retired. And so I worked under him as his assistant editor for several years, and then he retired. It was about a year and a half ago, and so I stepped into the role as editor. So that's kind of a long story, but everything in a nutshell. And so yes, just very, very thankful to be in this position and just to have this opportunity.
Well, you know, as one of the only new kids on the block here, Rebecca, me, I feel like, you know, our show is still, it's just a baby. It's just 1 year old. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I have quickly learned about the American Family Association and American Family Radio is that once people come, they don't leave. I mean, you talk, how long have you been here? 40, 50, 60 years, you know, however, it's not that long because it was started in 1977, but you got a lot of OGs, you know, you got a lot of people who are original there.
Yes.
I think that's really a beautiful thing about it. And they really do practice what they preach, just exactly like you said, step away, have babies. Yes, that's family. Great.
Yes.
You know, bring them here. And something that people might not know about you, Rebecca, that I think that they should know, is that you make the best chocolate pound cake I have ever had in my life. Like, anytime you want me to come back and have that with some Dr. Pepper Bluebell on top, like, I mean, you just, we were friends from that moment.
Yeah, so you were welcome anytime. Yes, that is my mom's go-to recipe, so it's become mine as well.
My gosh, it was good. It was really, really good. And not only do you make good pound cake, you make good magazines. And, you know, the Stand magazine, it really provides an important role to give a biblical perspective on cultural and social and family issues. And it really connects with AFR's mission to inform and inspire and equip listeners. It's doing that, except for in a print version. So there's so many things that you could cover. How do you choose what you're going to feature in each edition?
Yeah, that's a great question. We do keep a running list. We call it our story ideas list. So we just keep a running list as different ideas are brought to us. Sometimes we have readers that call or email or send a letter with some ideas. sometimes we have the leadership here at AFA that just says, hey, let's do a story on this or that. And then our writers also just come to me with ideas, different things that they're interested in or that they're passionate about. And of course, all of those fit within those core issues of AFA. Like, that's our focus with the magazine, is everything that we write about fits within the mission and the vision of AFA. And our mission and vision of the magazine is the same as that of AFA, to inform, equip, and activate. And the key word for us is activate. That is when Brother Don Wildman started the ministry, he started with a newsletter. And at the time, what is now a 32-page full-color magazine was just a small letter that he printed on his own on a mimeograph machine.
Oh my goodness.
Yes, and he began mailing that out to generate support, but more than support, just to generate some activism. Like, he was trying to move people to take action in our culture about things that were going on. And so that is really the focus of the magazine, is to do just that, to spur our readers to take action, to, you know, in response mm-hmm. to what's going on in our culture.
Well, and that must be hard, because how do you balance addressing timely issues versus, you know, providing evergreen truths? Because some things are here today, gone tomorrow. Some are longer battles that we see. I think about, you know, my daughter, an intern for AFA mm-hmm. and worked with you, and she wrote a story that was so interesting about pickleball, which seems like, what does pickleball have to do with your faith? But there was a really interesting connection there. But how do you balance that? You know, whether you're addressing something of the moment, but also providing those truths that endure.
Right. And that is a challenge. It really is from month to month. But like you said, you know, speaking about your daughter's story, that is one that really has stuck out to me recently, because I was the same way, to be honest. When she came to me with the idea about pickleball, I thought, how's that gonna fit in? And it did, because she approached it from a gospel perspective. And that's she nailed it. That's exactly the perspective that we want to take with our articles, is that they all have a gospel perspective. They are biblically centered, Christ-centered. And she used it to show how the game of pickleball was being used as an outreach ministry all across the country to share the gospel with people who were coming to play pickleball. And so that, again, is how we try to balance it. We also have a section of our magazine where we have something called Issues at Hand. And so they're just small news briefs where we do hit on some of, I guess you could say, the newsier pieces, things that are more news focused, and then we use our features kind of to balance those out, to flesh out what's happening in the culture, but to add that biblical perspective, to add how our readers can take what's going on in the culture and respond to it with God's word, if that makes sense.
Oh, it absolutely makes sense. And that's so encouraging. And I'm sure, Rebecca, it is really challenging. And we're coming up on a break here. But when we come back, one of the things that I wonder is the challenges of engaging a wide audience. We have a lot of different kinds of listeners and readers who live all over the country, some even all over the world, who have a very diverse perspectives. How do you write for them when on every single issue, you know, that aside from gospel truth issues, you know, there may be some differing of opinions. And I want to know how you handle that, how you address those diverse perspectives while staying grounded in biblical principles. We've got a lot more coming up with Rebecca. Rebecca Davis, she is the editor of The Stand. And we'll also be hearing soon from Jeff Chambly, who hosts The Stand Radio. Don't go away. We'll be right back with more hope for healthy families. You know you want to hear it. I'll be right here on the other side of this break.
Meet Kelsey. When she found out she was pregnant, she wasn't sure where to turn. But after meeting with the counselors at a preborn network clinic who loved and supported her, and after hearing her baby's heartbeat on a free ultrasound, she chose life.
When a mother looks at her child through a sonogram, it does something to you. You know, I ended up deciding to keep my son, who is now 5 years old today. He's amazing. He brings absolute joy to my heart. I could not imagine life without him. Not only did they help me save his life, they saved my life.
By introducing a woman to her baby on ultrasound, a baby's chance at life doubles. If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, helping to rescue 200 babies. To donate, dial pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 baby, or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com. For Dr. Nurse Mama, I'm Jessica Peck. Welcome back, friends. That is That's My King by Cece Winans, and that's my cue for my kids to say, oh no, please do not play Cece Winans around my mom. She will stop everything wherever she is and have an immediate praise party. I love Cece Winans. I love her music, and that is our king, and that's what she's singing about. But what we're talking about today is The Stand magazine with American Family Association. We are talking to the editor, Rebecca Davis. We'll be joined by the Stand radio host, Jeff Chambly. And Rebecca, right before the break, we were just talking, going to dive into that topic of how do you deal with people who may disagree about some of the things that we publish?
Yeah, that's a hard question.
it is.
But yes, that does. I mean, that does happen often. And so really our focus, and, you know, with everything that we write, is to stay grounded in the Word. And so we feel like that if we're able to do that, and we're very, very careful and very mindful of that, then we feel like when those who do disagree with us, which does happen from time to time, that we are able to give them a biblical response. And of course, we always, you know, we're always going to be kind in that. And yes, there's sometimes we just have to agree to disagree. Sometimes we hear from our readers and they do hold us accountable for some things, which is great because we are human. We do make mistakes. And so we do hear from our readers and they do hold us accountable, and we'll come back and say, you know what? You're absolutely right on that. Thank you for pointing that out. We will do what we need to do on our end to make that right. But it's also very important, too, you know, for us to connect with our readers. And so we want to provide them with stories, with information that they can connect with. And again, we may not always see eye to eye, but as long as we are coming to our readers with stories that are grounded in God's Word, then we feel like the biblical response is what we're able to give them. And then, you know, we may differ on our convictions in response to that. But yeah, I think that's the best way to explain how we handle those things.
I think that's pretty amazing, because if your motivation is the same, if your goals are aligned, and if it's done in a spirit of kindness, right? Mm-hmm. Not in a,
for sure,
you know, I want to be right. Like, let me tell you the ways that I know about this. But if it's done in kindness, that kind of discussion is so good. And Rebecca, I see that as a function of the body of Christ. You know, the ear may hear something that maybe the hand didn't realize as it was writing it. You know, mm-hmm. the eye may see something that the ear didn't hear. And having those perspectives is, I think about iron sharpens iron. So man, you know, one man may sharpen another, but it's really hard, Rebecca. It's very hard to step out in faith and to lead. And I know from behind the scenes, because I've seen you all working, I know how much weight you put into the responsibility of the audience you're stewarding, how much prayer goes into every word in every article. And I know that God is going to use that for our good and for His glory, even when there's some things that we may learn more. We may, you know, have perspectives that shift. Those values that are there, those are never going to shift. And the timeless truths of God's word, those are never going to shift. And so I think it just gives us some grace and space to walk with each other as, mm-hmm. as humans who are trying to pursue the truth of God. And so is there, can you tell us maybe an inspiring story from a reader who was impacted by something that they read about in The Stand?
Yes, we had one, I guess back in the spring, one of our writers, Matthew White, wrote a feature about the World Health Organization and some initiatives that they were trying to put in place. And so he wrote just an informative piece really for our readers to say, hey, this could potentially happen. Here's how we need to stop it. Here's some very practical steps that you can take, you know, to stop this. And so we heard from a reader, we got an email, and I'll read you just a small part of her email. But it says, last week I received my monthly issue of The Stand around noon. As I opened it, it fell to the article about the World Health Organization, in which Matthew had interviewed Michelle Bachmann about that. And she said, the reader said, I immediately took a picture of the two pages and sent it to my husband, who is an Oklahoma State representative. And the reason that I sent it to him with urgency was because that afternoon's legislative session was starting at 1:30, and he was preparing to present a bill about the World Health Organization, and he needed much information to answer the anticipated questions since he had only had a couple of days to prepare. And then she goes on to say, after quickly reading the article, he presented the bill and it passed the House, and at the time was awaiting to be heard by the Senate. And she went on to say that her husband commented that the article helped him tremendously, and it helped him answer most of the questions that he would not have had the answers to if he had not had time to read it. And she said, we do not believe that this was a coincidence. We believe that God was at work. And it's just stories like
amazing.
That. Yeah, it is. When I got that email, like that is the encouragement, and that just shows us, or reminds us, let me say that, of why we're doing what we're doing.
I agree with you 100%, Rebecca, that with God, there is no such thing as coincidence. He works in so many miraculous ways. He works in the smallest ways and the biggest ways, and His ways are higher than our ways, and His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. But just to know that He orchestrates that level of detail, that's got to be really encouraging to see. And again, I see this rising up of the body of Christ, each person playing their part, you know, and that was really equipping him to be able to respond in that moment, which is absolutely fantastic.
And in it too, God's timing was just perfect, because Matthew White, our writer, I can't tell you for how many months had tried to get interviews and had to put off writing and publishing this article because we just couldn't make it happen. And then when it did happen, it ended up being the perfect timing because God's hand was in that, and this lady needed it at that moment. So,
wow, that is amazing. Well, we've talked about how you choose topics, but you've got something new coming up where you're going to try something new and have a themed issue. So tell us about that, Rebecca.
We do. So with our January-February issue, we do a combined issue once a year. So we publish 11 times a year, and one of those issues is a combined issue. So for January-February, we are putting together, in fact, we're on the final stages right now, of putting together a special pro-life issue that is inspired by the AFR show Hannah's Heart. And so that ministry focuses on ministering to women who are struggling with infertility, miscarriage, loss. And so this whole issue of the magazine will focus on those issues in an effort, to follow along with our pro-life stance that AFA has. And so we're going to be diving into some new issues that we've never really discussed before. AFA has always been, of course, very much against abortion. And that's really the angle that we have always focused on when it comes to sanctity of human life and to pro-life issues. But we're diving into some different things with this one. And so I'm looking forward to our readers getting to take a look at it. And again, like I said, just something different, something new. We're all focused on those themes, and we're doing a lot of, just looking at a lot of different things. We're looking at the fertility crisis that's going on in America. We're looking at what it really means to be pro-life. You wrote that piece for us. And
I did.
And just really diving into what does it mean? Like, believers say they're pro-life, but what does that truly mean when you say that you're pro-life? And so we're really, really excited about that one. We're looking at, some of the other options. We're looking at how to grieve. Like, when you lose a child, whether it's through miscarriage or whether your child has already been here on the earth and a part of your life in that way, what happens? You know, how do you respond when you lose a child? How do you grieve well? What are some things that you don't say to parents who are grieving? You know, many times we're very quick to offer some words of encouragement, but what are some things that are better left unsaid? So just a lot. This issue's packed with a lot, and we're very excited to bring it to our readers.
You know, for me as a nurse practitioner, I am all about holistic health. That's really how we look at people, how we're trained to look at people, that we recognize that people are not just physical bodies, they're body, mind, and spirit. And so be able to look at life from a holistic lens, from the most fragile moments in the hours after conception, and talking about just how miraculous the cell division is. And I do talk a little bit about my medical perspective and seeing the miracle. I call it the jaw-dropping miracle of life happening in those early stages, but all the way to those tender last moments, you know, from first to last. And it's really, I think, going to be a beautiful celebration of life. And I look forward to seeing the whole issue. And that's exciting. So for people who maybe don't subscribe, Rebecca, and they're thinking, wait, I want to see that. How do they get in touch with you? How do they subscribe?
Yes, you can go to afa.net/thestand. And there are a couple of options there. There is one button that is you can click on that's called the Stand Print version. And so our magazine goes online about 2 weeks or so after it publishes, after it lands in people's mailboxes. So you do have to wait a few weeks if you don't subscribe. But it is there on the website a couple of weeks after it drops in mailboxes. But if you want it to come to your mailbox, then you can go to the same address, afa.net/thestand, and you can click on subscribe. And when you click on that button, you can fill out your information and receive a free 6-month trial of the magazine.
Well, that's a great deal. Honestly, yeah. Rebecca, that's a really great deal. And another great deal is that it seems like we have Jeff Chambly, who's joined us in the studio now, who does the Stand Radio. So, Jeff, welcome. We're so glad that you're here.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me to be on your show today.
Well, we've been just talking a lot about the Stand magazine, the print version, the online version, the ministry of AFA, how it has evolved, but still, you know, served that timeless purpose over the length of AFA's existence. Tell us about you. Tell us about your testimony and how you came to work at AFA and work for the Stand.
Oh, how long do we have, Dr. Peck?
as long as we need. No. I'm always good for good stories. I can always sit a long time for good stories.
You know, I appreciate the question because so many times we get just what is the issue and not to, you know, how did the Lord find you, you know? And I think I was blessed to be raised in a Christian home. My mother was a devout prayer and a church attender and a great mom. She passed away recently, but she came to faith in Christ because someone cared enough to invite her to Sunday school as a young girl, picked her up and carried her to church. And her name was Miss Coley. And so thanks to Miss Coley, my mother became a Christian and I became a Christian through the influence of my mother. My parents separated when I was about five. So I grew up with my mom for a few years. She remarried. And so I became a Christian around the age of 12. I should say I was baptized at the age of 12. And like so many people, Dr. Peck, I had to make my faith my own and not my mother's, not my grandparents. And so when I was in college, the Lord got my attention. And I believe that I was truly born again at that time. And it wasn't long thereafter. And I had plans. I was a music major in college, and I wanted to be a trumpet professor. I wanted to teach trumpet on a university level and play in orchestras. And I was on my way to do that. And when the Lord saved me, it just occurred to me the only reasonable thing that I can do, if what God has said in His Word is true, if Jesus is real and He's coming back and He's really going to reward those who followed Him, then what else can I do but give everything I have to Him? And that really, I can definitely remember a time when I thought, I just can't do anything else. I have to do this. And so I, at that time, surrendered to music ministry because it's the only thing that I knew. And so I went to Southwestern Seminary. I had been married for just 3 or 4 years at that time. We had two small girls. And so we went out to Southwestern. I got a music degree, master's in music, and served churches in Texas and Georgia and Mississippi. And it was in Greenwood, Mississippi, when I worked with Rick Robertson, who was in our production department. I'd worked with Rick when I was 15 at a radio station in our hometown. And Rick said, we're doing a pro-life special on radio, and we need some voice work. Would you be interested in recording the script for us? And I said, absolutely. And so I set up a studio in my laundry room and recorded the script for a pro-life special that aired. And that moment, I thought, you know what? There are things going on in this world that I need to give my life to be able to bring the gospel to bear in these issues other than music. And so that was the beginning of how I ended up at AFA or AFR many years ago.
That is a great story, Jeff. See, this is why I love the behind-the-scenes stories, because so many people may be using some of those resources from AFA, but there are real, living, breathing human beings with souls and stories behind this. And to go from trumpet professor to radio host, that's a pretty good God story, Jeff. And when we come back, I want to ask you about the Stand Radio and how you work to bring that print version to voice and how people can listen in. So don't go away. We'll be right back with more from Rebecca Davis and Jeff Chambly of The Stand Magazine. See you on the other side of this break.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. There is hope and healing from a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. Your call is confidential, and we will help you find healing. 866-482-LIFE.
When you hear this...
This is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net and sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
I want to dance like David. I want a faith like Paul. I want to sing like Silas tearing down the prison walls. I want to face that fire. It won't burn me though. God's got my back, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. I want to walk like Moses right through the waves. One day I'll see that promised land no longer slaves. Though the fear is talking, no, it can't take out my faith. I'm gonna praise, I'm gonna praise. I praise the mountain moving body, raising breaker of chains. Gonna praise, I'm gonna praise. I praise the heaven seated, undefeated, highest of names. That's who I praise. Hey, that's who I praise. That's who I praise.
Welcome back, friends. That is Who We Praise. That is by Brandon Lake, and I love that. That song gets my blood pumping. I don't know if I really want to dance like David, all undignified. I don't know. We won't even go down that road today. But what I do want is I want to be able to write like Rebecca Davis, and I want to be able to have a radio voice like Jeff Chamblee does. Those are the two people, our guests today. We're talking to the editor of The Stand and The Stand Radio. And Jeff, you were just sharing your journey from trumpet professor to radio host in your laundry room. I mean, really, only God could write a story like that.
Yeah, you know, starting in radio when I was 15, you know, I look back on my life and thought, you know, the Lord really has laid those stepping stones out there. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize it at all at the time. But a lot of the things that he gives us early in life, he sort of hardwires us for what we're going to need later on. And so I look back and I give God the glory for that. And so thankful to be here. And by the way, I still get to lead music. I was I left AFA for just a short stint to be a worship leader in a local congregation here, came back to AFA. So I do a lot of pulpit supply and fill in and play trumpet on every Sunday morning service still. So I get to do all of the above.
Oh, we had a trumpet player at our church for a really long time. And oh my goodness, everybody loves the trumpet. Like you start playing during, you know, during How Great Thou Art, are just going to lose their mind. I absolutely love it. Well, Jeff, tell us about The Stand Radio. How does it function alongside The Stand Magazine? What kind of topics do you cover? What does this look like?
I think The Stand Radio really kind of fits the pattern of AFA in that we are constantly looking to adapt our content to new and different platforms. When I started The Stand Radio, and we started this year and maybe a year and 2 months ago, we came on. The idea is, and still is, to start with The Stand magazine itself, the print edition. And so what I do is I go through every issue and I make note of the topics that are being done, who is being interviewed, and I look at how can we make this into a radio talk show format. There are some people who simply for one reason or another will not subscribe to the magazine. We still want them to get the content. So a lot of times, instead of reading the article where the person is interviewed, you can have the radio interview, and we'll cover some of those issues and then maybe broaden the topic out a little bit more to cover some more things as well. So we always start with the print edition of the magazine. And then thankfully, you know, I have some freedom and latitude to kind of add to that. And I would say that we are conscious of the blog as well, because when we are writing and when I'm interviewing people, a lot of those things will turn into The Stand blog online, The Stand magazine online. So a lot of that content is used. But I have the privilege of talking to a ton of different people. Dr. Peck, I counted 107 guests.
Wow. In a year?
This year alone, yeah.
Wow.
About 107.
That's fantastic.
So every program will have two or three guests. And it's a half-hour show on Saturday afternoons and Sunday evenings. Of course, you can get the podcast. But we'll keep each guest for about 15 minutes. And I've had a number of just fantastic, fantastic guests. I'm reminded that the Christian life is all-consuming. When we are called to Christ, He calls every bit of us. He calls our he calls us and our family relationships, our civic relationships, our talents, our skills. Everything is brought to the Lord. There's a quote by Abraham Kuyper that sums that up. He says, "There is not one square inch in the whole of domain of our human existence over which Christ, who is sovereign over all, does not cry, 'Mine.'" Jesus is Lord over everything. And so every topic, whether it is in a scientific realm or in a psychological sort of realm, child raising, discipleship realm, whether we're talking about economics or work ethic, all of those things come under the gospel umbrella. And so with the Stand Radio, I look at it as if, you know, we're gonna pick whatever is on the minds of people today, and we're going to translate that into a biblical worldview and give you some action points. That's really the goal behind the program.
Well, I'm sorry, Jeff. I think I must have misheard you, because I thought you said when you go to church on Sunday, you're a trumpet player. Are you sure you're not a preacher? Because that sounded like a great little mini sermon there. I mean, I was feeling the urge to take notes. I was waiting for the, you know, little prompts that have the same letters that come after them. Well, that was really good.
Well, you know, I talk with a lot of people that, you know, that resonates with a lot of people. I'll give you, for instance, I talk mm-hmm. with a famous author that we will be featuring in next year. Am I allowed to mention his name? Okay. Well, I'll Randy Alcorn is his name.
Really?
And so Randy
he wrote
Alcorn.
Heaven.
Yeah,
I love
absolutely.
That book.
And so I've just been itching to interview Randy Alcorn on Heaven for years. I mean, literally for years. So I had the opportunity yesterday, and just to talk about the kingdom of God. And when Randy Alcorn talks about the kingdom of God, mm-hmm. we're not speaking of heaven as a mystical, mm-mm. ethereal existence that is out of the body. Okay, so mm-hmm. he will teach and preach that the present heaven is a temporary dwelling place. The ultimate destination for every believer is a new heaven and a new earth. That includes culture, it includes art, it includes work, it includes sports, it includes everything that God is going to literally remake. And so in that conversation with Randy Alcorn, I was just over the top excited, because it just reminds me that everything belongs to the Lord. And when we begin to think of our Christian life as something that is dull and boring and narrow and limited, it just goes to show that we don't understand the kingdom of God. You know, how could whatever God does be less than what we would desire in this life? And so that's just an example of the kind of conversations we get into, and hopefully that's encouraging to people.
Oh, you are going to have to let me know when that airs, because I will be your first listener, Jeff. Reading that book was very transformational for me. Yeah. I actually led my Sunday school through a small group study of that book, because it is not angels sitting around on clouds playing harps. I mean, it is not that. And so to have that transformational mindset, like you could go hiking if you wanted to go hiking and explore new worlds. And just like you said, there's work, there's the culture, there's art. Yeah. I mean, and then you wonder why Christians are so excited to live our lives as we're citizens of another kingdom. I mean, that is exactly why. And that is such a great thing to look forward to. And I know another thing that you really look forward to is working with your son here. And that's one of the things that I really appreciate about the American Family Association. You and I met again there when my daughter was interning. Yes. Yeah. They take family seriously. So what is that like to share the ministry and mindset with your son? That's pretty amazing.
Dr. Peck, that was an answer to prayer, because in years prior, I had always prayed, Lord, let me work with my family. Let me work with my boys and girls. I just want to do that. And in my mind, I thought that would be at home, in some sort of a home occupation. But when I was in the role of director for American Family Studios, or prior to that, the homeschool channel was going on at the time, Jordan came on and started working part-time at the time. He was 15, I think. And so Jordan was editing videos, just one after another. And of course, the content of the videos were very much biblical worldview oriented. So he was getting an education when he was editing these videos for AFA. And so he began to do some writing, and then received a ton of encouragement from the staff at the AFA Journal at the time, Ed Vitagliano in particular, and Randall Murphy. And so that just encouraged him to write more. He had always been a good writer and interested in, you know, his imagination would just go crazy. He would love writing fiction and things like that. So he just began to work his way into writing, and before you know it, he was transferred out of that department and you know, long time forward, he'd been married now, and now he's with a family, and he's working in the stand department writing, and I'm very, very proud of him.
That is really special to be able to share that and to see your children. I think of the verse, I have no greater joy than knowing my children are walking in the truth. And not only is he walking in the truth, he's walking in the hallway with you there at American Family Association, which is really amazing. Well, tell us about some of your current projects and features.
Well, you know, we are we're ending up the year, and so we're kind of pulling everything to a conclusion. So I'll be looking back at the year with Fred Jackson on an issue or an episode coming up in December. We'll also be talking about Thanksgiving this coming weekend. I would just mention that this weekend's program is outstanding. I shouldn't say that. It's my show.
But I'm saying
the guest is outstanding, and the information is. Pastor Sam Crabtree was with John Piper for decades as one of his assistant pastors, and now he's in another church. He's written a great book called Cultivating Thankfulness. And this weekend, he really gives some practical suggestions and reasons why we are not thankful for everything that happens in our lives. And so I would just encourage people to listen to that this weekend. For example, that's just one show that's coming up. And looking back over this year, Dr. Peck, we've talked about pro-life apologetics with Scott Klusendorf. One of my favorite guests has been David Bonson. David Bonson is a world-renowned financial manager. He worked with Morgan Stanley in Manhattan for years, a devout believer. His dad was a theologian, and David is on Fox Business all the time. And so he had written a book called Full-Time, Work and the Meaning of Life. And again, going back to the worldview that the Christian life is all-encompassing, including our work, and the idea that what God has given us to do in our labor is God-glorifying, and it benefits others for the kingdom of God. So that episode will be airing soon. You know, there are many more I could go on, but that's just a sample of the kinds of things that we'll touch on.
So how do you start in the process, Jeff? So they have the Stand magazine. How do you work alongside together to decide what content that you're going to pick up with the Stand radio?
That's a good question. You know, I'll get a list of what's coming up in an issue, and I'll right away start looking at culture, faith, and family, those three big headings, and I'll bring in ideas from each of those. Some of the guests will not translate to radio as easily as they do to print. And so, and there are other guests that I think would probably be in the print edition, but are not, that I will bring in. So I'll always start with the issue and what's coming up. It's funny because the print edition works 1 or 2 months ahead of where I am. So when I'll go to one of the writers and say, hey, this guest that you had, and in their mind, they're thinking 2 months ago. And so I'm saying, no, that's coming up this next month. So, you know, in a sense, my work is very easy because I'll look at what is already in the edition and tailor the program after that.
Yes, you're right. It does go way far in advance. And I have been very blessed to be invited to write a monthly column, which I do now for The Stand. It is on the last pages before you shut the magazine. And I've been writing about all kinds of things, but writing about Thanksgiving, did that like back about July, August-ish, because we're preparing in advance to serve. It takes a lot of production and a lot of resources to be able to get it there. Well, Rebecca, I'd love to bring you back in. Do you have anything else that you'd like to add, any other words of encouragement or anything else you'd like our readers, our listeners to know, or your readers to know who are listening about the Stand magazine?
Yes, I think just our biggest thing is with the magazine. You know, we don't always want to be the bearer of bad news. You know, there's so much going on in our culture, and there's so many things that we can share that are just, I mean, they're just sad. They're just depressing. And so we don't yet. Yes, we have to share that. We need to share that because we need to be aware of those things. But we also hope with the magazine that our pieces do bring a sense of hope to our readers, and that we are a beacon of light in this dark world. Like that is really my desire, is when somebody reads an issue of the magazine, that they walk away inspired and motivated, like I said, to take action, but to also just feel hopeful after reading. Yeah.
Well, that's what we do here every day on the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, is prescribe hope for healthy families. And today we're prescribing that through the Stand magazine. And exactly what Rebecca just said, in a world of doom scrolling where you're constantly getting apocalyptic messaging that the world is so bad, you can open up the pages of the Stand and see really uplifting stories about things like pickleball, or things you can listen to the Stand radio and hear about how, wait, I didn't know that I get to go hiking in heaven. Like, that's amazing. So, Jeff, how can people listen to the Stand radio?
All right. The Stand radio is on AFR Saturday afternoons at 4 p.m. Central and 8 p.m. in the evening on Sunday. And of course, AFR.net, you can get the podcast there. And I'm so grateful for Rebecca and the staff at the Stand for welcoming a radio guy into their midst to participate. So I'm grateful. Thank you for asking.
Well, I'm grateful that you invited a nurse to join the party. It is a great one for sure. And so thank you so much to Rebecca Davis and Jeff Chambly. They are working hard on your behalf to serve you with encouragement and good news in this world. And I pray that the Lord will bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you and give you peace, until I see you right back here tomorrow with more holiday survival tips. See you then.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.